Perfect. Well, if you guys, I heard you guys didn't have church last week, but if you didn't know, I just got over COVID, which was not fun. Lane called me about the second day and was talking to me. He just told me this morning that I didn't sound like I was feeling very well, and I can assure you that was the case, but I've been cleared and I'm good and I'm back to classes. Classes started in full swing this week, and it's been a really busy time. I was telling Dot before church this morning that I'm currently reading 3 books and I have 4 papers due in the next 2 weeks. So insanely busy, but I'm doing good, and I'm really excited to be here this morning. It feels good to be back, and I'm thankful for the people that knew that I had COVID and reached out to me to see how I was doing, kind of checked on me periodically. I really do appreciate that. But if you've been here the last couple of weeks, I mean, I guess the last time I preached and then before Christmas break, you know that we're kind of talking about this idea of how we can trust God in various areas of our lives. And if you remember back to that first sermon, the message was just about how, what it means to trust God in general, and remember that this concept of trusting God revolves around us giving everything over to God. Pretty plain and simple message. And then we moved on to how to trust God in the storms of our lives, when time gets difficult, when things are difficult. And our message for that, the message that came across that morning, was that trusting God in the, if we're going to trust God in the storms, we have to remember that God is with us at all times. And then we talked about trusting God in our relationships. That was just 2 weeks ago. And remember the conclusion or the big idea, the thought I wanted to get across that morning was that we must love others the same way that God loves us. That's how we trust God in our relationships. But to continue this morning, we're gonna talk about another area of our lives in which we can trust God. And this one may be a little messy for most of you. It's messy for me. But it's trusting God in our finances. Because that's something I think that is critical that we understand. It's important. Maybe it makes us all squirm in our chairs a little bit. Maybe it makes us uncomfortable when we hear that we're going to talk about finances this morning. But I think it's important. I mean, just think about what you hear on the TV every day. Everything revolves around money. Dave Ramsey talks about money in his classes and his radio show and on TV. You can't even go through any of social media without seeing some sort of Ponzi scheme that's going to try to steal your money. Scammers calling people to try to steal it, asking them to, telling them that the IRS is after you and that they need so much money to get them off. Empires rise and fall because of it. In fact, a lot of people think that Germany lost the war because they ran out of resources and out of money. And that's just an interesting fact. Families are destroyed because of it, and lives are restored because of money. Some people have little of it, and others have what seems like too much. It's what drives the hearts of the people of the world. Not the people of the kingdom, but the people that we come in contact with every day. And if we're honest with ourselves, church, and we're honest with each other, because I believe this is an honest place, at some point in our lives, we subscribe to that notion too. Money's what was at the center of our hearts. Maybe that's not today or last year, or the past 5 years, but at one point, surely, your life revolved around money. It was something that you desired. Because the world drives this thought that money makes the world go round into our hearts. The world tells us that you need money to be powerful. The rich and successful ones of the world, the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs, or the Elon Musk, are the ones that we are taught to admire. But this led me to ask this question, and I'll attempt to answer it this morning, but I want you to think about it too. How can we honor God? How can we trust God with our finances? To begin this morning, I think it's important that we start to establish what God says about money in the Scriptures. Now, there was a lot of room to make some choices here, but I think I picked a couple of texts, but I first want to say there's two reasons that we should start with Scripture. One, so you don't feel like this is some sort of effort from me to get you to tithe more to the church. We all know that we've seen that with TV preachers trying to get people to give more money, and that's not my intent. And two, because if we aim to look more like Jesus, it starts by understanding the words that he spoke. So the first text I want to look at is Hebrews 13:5. We're going to kind of go rapid fire. I guess I should be a little bit better about sending them to Donnie beforehand so we can get them on the screen. Maybe I'll start that this week. But Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" It's a good passage. Kind of helps drive this thought home about not loving money, but loving God. And then we have Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Man, that's a radically different message than what the world tells us. That's completely upside down. Simply just saying, either God is your master or money is. And it leaves the choice for you to make. Matthew 6:24, Luke 4:14, rather. "Then some soldiers asked him, 'What should we do?' He replied, 'Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay.'" That, I must admit, is one of my favorite passages, because I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but there's a lot of talks in the church about whether Christians should serve in the military, and I think this text kind of clearly implicates that it is okay for Christians to serve in the military as long as you do so in a way that honors God. I don't want to get on a tangent about that this morning, but I really love that text. What about 2 Timothy? We know Paul, in his writings to Timothy, is pretty harsh, honestly. I'm taking Timothy and Titus at Ozark right now, and we're going to take 16 weeks to go through 13 chapters, all of Timothy, 1 Timothy, all 2 Timothy and Titus. So it's going to be a really deep look, and I'm excited for that. But 2 Timothy 6:10, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Again, in the same letter, or the same series of letters, that's 2 Timothy. In the first letter Paul writes to Timothy, he's talking about the same thing again. And he says, "Command those who are rich in the present not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to keep their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." I love this passage from Paul. He says, if you put your hope in the wealth, in your money, in the things that you can obtain here, Your future is so uncertain. Why? Because you don't put your hope in Jesus. You have it in things that are momentary. Such a good message to hold on to be rooted in the firm foundation. And finally, Acts 8, the last passage I'm going to read this morning. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gifts of God with money." If you didn't get it by now with just those eight passages, the Bible talks about a lot about money. In fact, I was doing some study over this past week, and I didn't realize this, but it's an interesting fact. The Bible mentions money or alludes to money over 800 times. Let that sink in, church. God saw it as important enough to talk about it in his book over and over again to drive it home. But if we can understand the significance that it's mentioned 800 times in the New Testament and that it's important to God, how do we honor God with our money? That's the question we're attempting to answer today, and I want to give you three ways this morning that we can honor God with our money. The first is that we realize what we have is not ours. We realize what we have is not ours. We understand that the job that we have, or the money that we have, or the gifts that we receive are not from our doing, but are from the gifts or the skills or the things that God has provided for us. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, but it's difficult to do. I often think about this myself, and I was looking back. I'm taking a class on leadership right now at Ozark, and I was looking back at some stuff that I had written a couple of years ago about how I was doing so good and I was going to get promoted in the military, and how successful I was, and all of this stuff I wrote about how difficult the road's been and how much I've grown and how much I've changed. I didn't take one second to stop and thank God for the provisions and the challenges that he's gotten me through. See, I was living for myself and not for him. It goes back to this first message of trusting God in general, just realizing that God is with us. And the second way we can honor God or trust God with our finances is we can be good stewards of what we have received. See, this is exactly what that Acts passage is warning about. Peter is talking, and he says, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." That's actually not being a good steward with what God has given you. And I'm not talking about the 10% of tithe that you're supposed to give, or that the scriptures clearly say to give. I encourage you to do that. But God's saying, what else are you doing with your money? Are you buying things that are meaningless? Are you buying extra meals, extravagant meals, when there's people homeless and unable to eat at night? Are you buying extra clothes when there's children that go to school every day and struggle to find something to wear? Being a good steward with your money starts with you asking God, is it a wise decision to make the purchases that you make? I do this quite frequently. In fact, most of you know I bought a new car 2 years ago, and that was a big step for me. It was a lot of money to spend on that. And one of the things that I did was I took about 2 weeks to pray and see if this is something that God would actually like me to have. Because if it wasn't, I was okay with buying something not as nice, something a little cheaper. And through all of that, I felt like that was God's call for me, was to buy that car. And it's been great. I've been able to drive here and do ministry, and I was able to drive to Colorado this summer and do some ministry there, and it's been a great tool to use for the kingdom. But it started with me being a good steward of the money that I had, because I asked God, is this okay? And the third way, honestly, the most important in my mind of the ways that we can trust God with our finances is we give with a generosity that reflects Christ. We give with a generosity that reflects Christ. I ask you just to think about that statement, sit in it for a few moments. See, you could think that statement's about money. It could go a lot of ways. See, Christ was so generous that he gave us something that we did not deserve. He gave us something more valuable than any riches, than any gold, than any silver, more precious than silver and gold, as the scriptures say, more valuable than anything we could buy. He gave us his life so that we could be in relationship with God. So when we're generous in a way that reflects Christ, we're willing to give away the excess that we have because we're good stewards with what we have received and because we realize that what we have is not actually ours. The skills God gave us allowed us to get that job, allowed us to get that opportunity, which in turn gave us an opportunity to be smart with that money, maybe invest, maybe do something with it to make a smart purchase. And when we realize that we've got everything that we need in this life, everything that God's provided for us that wants to give us, then we give the excess away with a generosity that reflects the generosity that God gave us through Jesus. I was listening to a story, or actually it was a sermon a couple of weeks ago by a pastor out of California named Francis Chan. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but I would recommend you read some of his books. He has one called Crazy Love that I absolutely love. That book is so good. But this sermon was talking about just generosity, and he wrote Crazy Love as a young Bible college student or graduate that didn't have much money. He said he was living in a tiny apartment, pastoring a church that wasn't very big. He didn't have a large salary. Him and his wife were really, really kind of struggling financially. And he wrote Crazy Love, and he didn't think it was going to do that well. The publishers told him, oh, you might make a little money from it. And about 6 months after he published that book, it was on the New York Times bestseller, and he had made the first $1 million of his life. He had a check for $1 million. And he went home, and he was talking to his wife, and his wife was really excited. Oh, we're going to get a new house. We're going to build this. And his answer to that really shocked me. He actually told his wife that we're not going to touch any of this money. It's all going to be given away. Every cent of this $1 million, we're going to give it away so we can honor God with it. And in fact, he went on to write several more successful books. And he said at one point he kind of stepped away from that and kind of, you know, he had all of this money, his church grew exponentially, he had a large salary, and he started to become a lover of money and power and the things that don't honor God. And he made the decision, after a missions trip to Africa, to step away from pastoring his church. And that decision was because he saw kids in Africa that didn't have shoes on, and he wanted to devote his time and his resources to going to Africa and blessing these people with the gifts that God had given him. I wish we could all be a little more like Pastor Francis Chan. I know that in my heart of hearts, I would love to say that I get a salary every month and then I give majority of it away. But if I'm honest with you guys, I don't. Something that I personally need to work on, something that I need to reflect on in my own life. So this morning, Wayne, I know Wayne loves a good challenge, and so I want to challenge you guys to reflect on this week. And it may not be something that you can do to give generosity or give financially with a lot of generosity, but maybe you have time, which is another valuable commodity that you can give. Maybe it's a couple hours a week that you can volunteer somewhere, or maybe it's something that you can do here to help out with what we do here or at another service during the week. I personally help out with the youth group on Wednesday night in the Joplin area, and it's been some of the most fruitful work that I've done. I don't get paid for it. I just do it because I love the kids there, and I've gotten to watch about seven junior high school boys grow in their faith and learn to live more like Jesus. So the thought this morning, the challenge for you is to this week think about the ways that you can give generously that reflect Christ in your lives. And remember, if we're trying to drive this home in one big statement, to honor God with our money or with our finances, to trust God with our finances, means that we trust God entirely with everything we have. That's the simple gospel narrative. If you wanted to boil it down to one statement, it would be trust God with everything you have. So let's pray and then we can move on with the service. But I just want that to sit in your minds this week. Trust God with everything you have. Father, I thank you for the message this morning. It's a difficult one to talk about. Finances are messy and hard. And man, the world just tells us that finances, that money is what we need to be successful and to be viewed highly in the world's view. But we know with a kingdom heart and a kingdom mindset that that's not the case. Because if we have you in our lives, we have everything that we need. Because you are our provider and our firm foundation. It's in your name we pray. Amen.